I've seen a couple other guys break it down. It was a guy on Joe Budden's show who broke it down. Mm-hmm. Like they, it's like they've already been referencing him on their last album. Right. And because he lays low so long,
he be chilling.
But when he come back, he like, motherfucker, I didn't forget you. I'm petty like that. Exactly. I didn't forget you.
Yeah, I'm nice.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're going to have to play this back a couple of times to catch it all.
Prince outlived Mike Jack. Bitch nigga, bum. I don't really like that. Nah, that shit nice. You can't hear that switch, but you can hear them niggas scream.
I'm a whole dude. You are now listening to The Reality Is. The Reality Is.
Won't never say fuck to my city, I love me. Know if I stay here, I might get in trouble. I know if they give me a chart, they gon' double. I'm black with some money, law think that I hustle. One name for sure, I deal for a custo. I'm in the A-ducking law like I'm Gusto. Fuck it, he tripping 250, he touch, bro. Keep me a turtle that these nigga cutthroat. I love my money, then I do the shoebox. I'm first cause the elbow, I feel like I'm Dua. Only way I die if I go like Tupac.
We'll go ahead and start the show. We'll actually start it. We'll just jump into this bitch, man. It's episode 392. We finally getting back on our, getting the rails back together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We've had a bounce back. The last episode has not been released yet, but it was just me and Artesia. The franchise is back in the building.
Yes,
Mike's
so
in the building. Artesia's
back
in the building. You know what I'm saying? I told her, I was like, how does it feel with him not being here and you have to fill this fucking space?
Mm-hmm. It was a lot.
Because when me and you be doing it, Frank, we just kind of go back and forth. It's just like we like
it's
to talk.
Easy with three. Yeah. It's easy with three.
Yeah. My head just be going like, it's your turn. Yeah.
And you normally be over there, so it's easy on your eyes.
Yeah, she back over. Why did you come back instead of going over there?
Oh, because I sat over here the last time and I forgot how much I liked it. So
back in the building.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, so when you weren't here last time, mm-hmm. we were talking about Charles Duhigg's book, Super Communicator. We also have been talking about Jenna Zoe, Human Design.
Yeah. The thing you gave me to get.
Yeah, that. So that we've been kind of diving into that. It's like a part two of that. Come on, Deacon. Come on, Thomas Dexter.
Where your fan?
Come on, Thomas
Dexter.
I'm trying
to be cool with the jacket, but I'm not cool over
You're
it.
Not cool?
But it's cool.
Where your fan?
As long as I don't move. Oh, my God.
It's what in thing? The car, too?
No.
Okay.
I didn't bring it.
What are we talking about?
She's a fan that she bought me.
Oh, yeah.
See, that would have been perfect.
That would have been perfect. So you can rep the jacket, too,
without
man.
It.
Shout out to Lou Gossett. You know, rest in peace.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
The fiddler.
Our condolences. Why are you calling that? That's his name?
Roots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Even but, I knew that.
Well, it's been a long time since I've watched Roots. And, you know, I actually came up on 12 Years a Slave on TV the other day, and I never watched that when that came out.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Nah, I didn't watch
it. You were supposed to go.
Yeah, but I can't watch it, man. I'm at a point in my life where, like, I don't want to see that shit no more.
Mm-hmm. I've seen enough.
I know the story. Yeah. I know that some people be like, why do they still make it? Because they're re-educating the people who are growing up, the people who are now 18, 19, 20, so on and so forth.
And it's like different nuances to, I mean, I think that every story, I can't say every story has been told, but when it comes to that, I think we've seen a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different aspects of the, from the slavery, from the the ones that decided to run.
Yeah.
You know, they had that underground for a while. I watched that for a little bit.
I didn't watch that either, but I heard it was amazing.
That was really good because it really kind of puts you in the mindset of a slave who's trying to get away. You know what I mean? And just what they got to deal with on a daily basis, like
I think
even
it's
the ones that stay. And
Aldis Hodge is his name, right? Aldis Hodge, the main. You know that black dude who played, and wasn't it old girl who played from on Watchmen too? The little light skinned chick. I forgot her name.
So. Smollett.
What is the name of the
Journey?
Yeah, Smollett. The
Great Debaters.
Yeah, that's a classic too.
Mm-hmm. That was a great one.
That was classic.
I've been in my classic shit lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch, I haven't seen it since it first kind of pretty much came out, but the one I had on Instagram, Southside, the Hispanic dude or the Italian dude who liked the black girl,
I
Keisha.
Saw you posted.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the name right now. Bronx Tale. Yeah. I'm going to watch that this
weekend.
That's
a great movie.
It's been so long.
That's Keisha from Belly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And she, that was both of them are doing well. I forgot that guy's name, but he's acting in a lot of movies too.
Still?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, man. He do a lot of Italian movies. I haven't seen him in a while either, but he still flourishing.
That Bronx Tale was a great one, man.
I got to watch that. Real love, bro. I'm just saying real love. Like,
real
from the time
love.
He saw her.
Yes.
The way he was just staring at her on that clip, bro.
And I don't, have you seen Bronx Tale?
No.
Oh my God, you'll love it.
Yes, you will.
But this is what I love about it is because when you're in a situation like that where you find out, you know,
Yeah.
It's always because of something real subtle. Mm-hmm. So for him, he remembered what the OGs told him about, you know, because back in the day, people won't understand this because it's a fucking old movie. But he was talking about how if you open a door for a woman and you put her in the car, if she reaches over and unlocks your door, that's the one. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what she did.
That's big.
And that was big for him. Yeah. He was like, yo, that's it. That's my sign.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Yeah. And not being
and it happens like that.
It does. And I pay attention to that. Like, I think I told a story years ago. I never forget going on this date with this chick for the first time. And I went to go pick her up. And I remember picking her up. I knocked on the door. You know what I'm saying? She came out, closed the door. I walked to the car. I was getting ready to open her door, but she got to the passenger side first, and she's like, and I was like, I was like, give me a moment. I was about to do
it. I'm on my way.
You know what I'm saying? So I unlocked the door for her. She got in, and when I walked over to my side, she didn't open it. You know what I'm saying?
She didn't unlock.
And I never forget her name, bro. I want to say it so bad, but I never forget her name.
Beep it out.
That was one date, dog.
Just one.
One
date. That's all you needed.
Never one day. The whole night was more so about her just looking. It's kind of like how niggas talk about it now. Like, they look to be pampered. Everything is about them. I've only dated two girls like that in my life, and it was I had enough of it. Mm. I don't care about the big butts. I don't care about the breasts. That's why I always say, aesthetically, it matters, but it's like, I got to connect with something, that thing behind your chest, bro.
Most definitely.
I thought that was like a country rule, because I wasn't aware of it. Yeah. Like, guys would open my door all the time, and I never reached over. But when I met my ex-husband, he's from the country, and he was like, no, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so that's when I learned that that was a thing. And I was like, oh, okay.
And I think I brought it up to you when we dated too. Cause I was like, cause you didn't do it in the beginning. I was like, damn, you don't even open my, you ain't gonna reach over and click my shit.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm opening the door.
Now everything opens.
Yeah, even when she would we go out to eat or anywhere, I'd be like, don't touch the handle. I got you.
Yeah, because I'm so used to, like, that's something that I had to take a step back and allow somebody to do for me.
Let them do that, right?
I was like, I got you. But that's why it rubbed me the wrong way, cause I've always been very chivalry, like, chivalrous and respectful to women. That's why I be like, when I'm joking on here, like saying bitch and all that, that's literally me joking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And playing around. No woman have I ever disrespected to that extent.
I have
some disrespect.
Sure, I've called
but like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've had some disrespect.
Not a lot, though.
But that's not how I live. Like, that shit is for shock value, just having fun on the podcast. And I explain that shit because it's not going to change.
No, it's not.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
I just want you to understand who I
like
am.
The
word
on
we the need
show.
To bring you in so you can be on, not physically, but bring you into the studio and into our minds so you can understand the shit we say, because it's easy to get judged.
No doubt. I mean, it's easy to judge.
It's easy to judge and
even the seats that we sit in.
I
judge people in silence all the time, but I never do it in public.
Yeah. So how was y'all week, man? Y'all had a good week?
Hell no, man. My motherfucker busy than a motherfucker.
Work or just life?
Well, work because it was basically a 3-day work week, a 5-day work week into condensed into 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, three.
No, because we had Monday off too. We had Cesar Chavez off.
Oh,
that's what's up.
Yeah. So we had a 3-day work week, man, and it was fucking balls to the wall every fucking day. Man.
Yeah, got to pack them in,
man. It was tough, man.
My week was.
So I'm glad it was. You know, I'm glad it's done.
Yeah, I was in Oklahoma City. I didn't see really any black people, but
I was wondering how quick you. I was like, damn, that was a quick flight.
38 minutes, nigga.
Coming from Cali.
38 minutes before I could even get a snore in, we was coming down.
But you don't sleep on planes.
But the way there and the way back, I did, no disrespect, but I did, you know, I tell you about big people in these planes.
Oh my
so
God.
On the way there,
bro.
I rode beside, and this was on one of the American Eagles. So it's like, because such a short flight, it's like a first class only has one row. There's one row on each side. And then once you get past that, it's like two seats, not three.
Oh, two seats. Okay.
Yeah. So the seats are fairly big. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting down and I'm sitting next to a big guy. And he was nice, but it was like when a nigga went to sleep in them 30 minutes, it was like he was snoring. Ooh, like, I know he need a CPAP.
It was an early flight.
It was definitely an early flight. But then on top of that, he went to sleep. And you know how you try to figure out your position on the armrest? Didn't have to worry about that. His belly was, he was so big, his belly took up the armrest.
My goodness.
So anytime I'm on there, I'm like,
damn. It's got to be uncomfortable.
Yes, it has to be. And that's what I be thinking. But not even being rude, I'm just like, damn, do I, like, it's weird for me just hold one right arm up under here like a wounded duck.
Yeah.
Or do I sit that shit on the row?
Nah, I don't sit on
the row. Not on the row. Yeah. Oh, my God.
He slept hard. I set that bitch
on
the row.
I'm sure he did.
Just a pinch of it.
I can deal with a lot. Well, only thing I can't deal with is a dude putting his head on my shoulder.
Oh, no, don't fall asleep on me.
Yo, hey, get the fuck off.
Get off me. Get out of here.
Has that happened before?
Yeah. Like, if you sit in the middle and shit,
and a nigga fall,
be like, oh, yo, hey, chill out, man. I might not say something to a chick, but a dude be like, yo, I can't have your breath all on my face like that.
I almost gave my shoulder to that chick I told y'all about that was bobbing all over the place, that little Hispanic chick. I started to be like, you know, go and put your head on my shoulder. But going even back to the Bronx Tale, you can't even, the thing I liked about that clip I posted is the way he stared at her and he saw her and he was just like, and he kept staring at him. Then he, it's like he let people move between him. Then, like when they passed, he was still staring at her. And then she looked back at him. Those things, man, would probably be like creepish today because the way society has changed. But like, I love that shit. It was like, baby, I see you.
Yeah.
And he wanted, he didn't care that she saw. It's like, damn.
Yeah.
You know what? Beauty is not everything, but it wasn't just because she was beautiful. Something pulled that nigga in.
Something.
His energy, her energy pulled that nigga in. Yeah. And then their energies through smiles and through their eye contact, she saw him and she received him as well, bro.
Right. And another thing about it in that particular situation, you know, there is a dynamic of race.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And,
yes.
And if you grow up in a society or in an area where it's pretty much all blacks or all Italians, like you probably don't think that you could look at somebody outside of your race that way.
Yeah.
And then somebody catches you and you'd be like, what is that?
What is
that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I never thought that I would look at this person this
especially
way.
In the 80s. Like, people think this whole race thing is, like, you know, you'll have the younger kids probably be like, oh, man, was race ain't a big deal? But it's like, bro, we were born in the 80s and the late 70s. Like, that shit was still a big deal 30 years ago.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I grew up in an environment like that with a lot of Italians, and we used to beef
for sure.
all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, in the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we was fighting all the time, man.
That's crazy, bro. Don't call me no mooly. It's up.
That's what I'm saying, man. It was crazy.
Say no shit to
we had some words for them, too, but. But it was like, you know, it's a different world, man.
Yeah.
It's a totally different world. And people don't, I mean, it's, of course, just like we don't understand like shit like the Great Depression. We didn't live through that.
Yeah.
But when you talk to kids about life in like the 80s and the 90s before the internet.
Yeah.
They can't even understand
they
it.
They can't fathom it.
They can't fathom it.
Yeah. But I'm glad. I appreciate being born. The relationships are different. Like we talked the last time you were here about having day ones. I don't have any. But it's like the ones that I had and the times that I had them, it was totally different, and I can appreciate that shit, bro.
Yeah.
So before we get into the actual topics, have you ever dated a cougar, bro?
Well, okay, define it.
Like,
man.
By a decade over you.
A decade?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There was, well, I dated. I had some interaction back in the day. I was I was probably in, I might have been in like college
10
by
to
this
20,
time.
10 years. Years.
Yeah, 10 years. And she was a Dominican chick.
Oh,
and I met her at a block party. Bro, I was in love, man.
So I was thinking this morning, I was like, what's the benefits of a cougar?
Oh, well, ask Jalen Green what the benefits are.
Well, in that situation, I'm sure they are magnificent.
Hey, you see how that boy been playing, though?
He been like,
he can take care of.
Like somebody said, he's playing like he's about to start a family. You don't think Amber Rose eating up that baby batter?
Hey, man, listen.
Boy,
man.
I bet that's a good time, though.
I mean, she's like, what she got about?
She almost 40.
Yeah.
It's almost 20 years.
It's almost 20 years.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but hey, man.
So these are the benefits I thought about, and you know who I'm probably talking about. Mm-hmm. But I remember I dated a chick. I think I was like 26 or something, and she was like 43.
Dang,
look at her. High sex drive. They love to serve.
Mm-hmm.
They love to give money and take care of you. And that's the thing. Because they're cougars, they've been there, done that.
Yeah.
So they don't play them little
games
like, oh, you got to spend this
no
much
time
on
to
me.
Waste.
Oh, you got to do dang.
Nah.
We ain't doing all that. She almost broke my back, though, like sexually. Like, bitch, you grown woman. And then, like, I ain't, my 26-year-old's muscles, feel like they were still growing.
But it's like, but the primes are aligned. Like, women, you know, they're into their prime.
Yeah,
later.
Bro. She wanted that shit all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the crazy part about it was I definitely wasn't on that shit then. Like, she was very wet, meaning, like, her mouth. Everything she did. That's why I love, like, it was that's how I knew and learned that I was like, damn, I like head like this.
Yeah,
I had never gotten head where it's like, it's this sloppy. And I was just like,
okay, then.
It's like you could just, you know, these bitches on the porns to
so
be playing. Hey, man. I was like, I ain't never had this shit, bro.
Up, hey. Trying not to laugh over there. Can't be laughing. You got the new cameras and shit. Don't make me laugh, bro. Just tell your story. I'm trying to maintain over
just
this level.
Take the jacket off.
No, it's just not enough for the first segment. We got next segment.
Hey, you know that's how I felt when I wore that yellow corduroy thing. I was like, man, what episode was that where I was like, man, I know I'm hot, but I want y'all to see this.
Right,
shit.
Yeah, it's nice. It was a good look too. It was a good
God
look.
Damn, boy. You be dedicated in here. Summer coming around too. I'm about to give me one of them fans too, nigga.
Oh no, for real. That shit is a fucking life.
My hands is wet, just feel like moist right now. You know, when you ever shook somebody's hand and you're not in a situation to shake it. Your hands are moist. Right. Fuck this motherfucker if I want to shake my hand.
Right, give him a fist bump.
And Or I remember it would be times before I learned it, I would just apologize. Be like, hey, man, sorry, man. You know what I'm saying? I just
apologize. Motherfuckers always want to shake your head after you wash them, too. I'm like, yeah, man, I just wash my head.
Just give me that pound. Right. And I used to hate to give the fist bump pound because only white dudes did it back in the day.
I know.
And it was just like, man, I don't want to convert to this bullshit.
Yeah, for real.
But now it's like after I've gotten older and I've seen that them motherfuckers don't wash their hands and some people pick their nose, touch them, fist bump, nigga.
Exactly.
I get these knuckles
Exactly, the knuckles. Hey,
I ain't giving nothing in the hand, bro. But we were talking about design, my design and everything else. Have you been focusing on yours this week or reading anything about yours?
Yeah, I did my chart based on the book because I think you started reading the book and I wanted to read the book, but I wanted to get straight to the chart. Yeah.
So I want to start off with one of Frank's topics first because it kind of aligns and I want to know where his mind is at, but it kind of aligns with what we were talking about. And your first one is I'm responsible for my own happiness and peace.
Yes.
What made you come up with that? Because a part of our human design, that kind of tells you a little bit about how to become happy, how to become peaceful within yourself and accepting who you are.
Well, it's just when you go through life and you're dealing with situations, like sometimes I think we look outside of ourselves for someone to, like, say if we're not feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we look outside of ourselves where we're kind of conditioned to, you know, talk to a friend. Not to say that anything's wrong with any of these things. Talk to a friend, talk to a therapist, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are still responsible for our own happiness. So we have to be careful about how we allow things to affect our moods. Because sometimes we, you know, I was thinking about you because I know you had, you know, said that you overthink a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And part of the negative vibes or the bad space that we find ourselves in is because we're overthinking something that might not necessarily be true, but we're still reacting to it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So just taking more control of our own, you know, our emotional stability, making sure that we're paying attention to how things are affecting us. You know, we're also paying attention to the things that make us happy. We're making a decision to do more of that and just really limiting distractions because those distractions can really fuck you up. Like, we don't have that problem with what's going on social media or whatever, but a lot of other people do. People that I talk to, they really focus on the things that's happening in the world. And I'd be like, yo, you ever, you know, because one of the things that I learned just throughout life and just therapy is a lot of the times the people who are feeling like anxious or the people who have anxiety and things like that is because most of their mind is on the past or the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shit that had already happened that you got no control over or things that haven't happened yet that you're overthinking.
Yeah.
But come back to right now, man.
You don't have, like, no control over.
These are the things that you focus. The things right now, there's some things right now going on in your life that you could feel good about.
Yeah.
And you need to take control of that.
Well, that's like I forgot what I was watching, but they were talking about the journey. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so many people look to accomplish
destination
things.
Destination disease.
Yeah, and once they accomplish things, that may be the name of the podcast. And once they accomplish things, they still aren't happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, because the happiness comes within the journey of learning the lessons, mm-hmm. meeting those new people, networking, and
all of that shit.
And learning from all that to where when you achieve that goal, you're like, yo, I got through all of this and now I'm here. But also, like we've been talking about, incremental gains. After you finish that goal, you set another goal.
Exactly.
And then you go through that again.
Keep going.
And you keep adding those things to your utility belt.
Yeah. The other thing is this, man, when it comes to that, because I experienced that, you know, go to school, get a job, get married, you know, 2.5 kids, wife, pick a fence, all that shit.
Yeah.
I looked up, I had all that shit exactly the way they told me to get it. And then I realized that's not my dream.
Did you have a dog?
I didn't have a dog. Well, okay. I mean, I never bought a dog for my family.
Yeah.
I've lived in houses with dogs, but I was like, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? By the time I got to the 2.5, the 0.5 being the pet, I was like, I'm not doing it. I had some fish and shit.
Yeah.
But when I looked up, I was like, oh, this is American dream shit. This ain't the franchise dream.
Yeah.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Well, I got to create my own dream to create my own happiness. I don't need none of this shit that they said I needed.
Yeah.
Because I got it and I'm still not satisfied.
But think about how people are getting judged by that. Like, you know, you'll have people, I've had people ask me when they find out, they be like, oh, you're going to be 42. No kids, you don't want any kids. And it's not that I've never wanted any, it's just things haven't aligned for that to happen.
Exactly.
But some people think, oh, well, you're 42, or they try to age women out of a certain situation. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, bro, that's, like you said, that's the American dream. That doesn't necessarily apply to me.
Right.
My shit looks different all the time anyway.
Yes.
And you find out that some people are happier after they've gotten a divorce and realize that, damn, I did that. I've tried it. Notched mm-hmm. off my belt. Don't have to do it again. Mm-hmm. I still want love. I still want companionship. But now I have to figure out, what does that look like for me? Mm-hmm. Is that me, like you be talking about, living in a compound and we all stay on the same property? Mm-hmm. Or is it having a condominium and I'm on the top floor, you on the bottom floor? And if you are financially like? Stable yes. enough to live in two places and be in the same space? Because mm-hmm. you know, like for me, I've never lived with anybody because I have a fear that it could wreck it or end it, because mm-hmm. I am a person who continuously likes my own space. Mm-hmm. And if I'm around somebody who wants to be around me, but I like to be on my own, mm-hmm. then how is that going to make that person feel?
Exactly.
But it sucks, because then it does become complicated, because if you're not one of those people who are willing to live inside those boxes and compartmentalize your dreams, then it's like, who am I going to find that's going to allow me to live this way and still have that companionship?
No doubt. I mean, it's a ping pong situation. You know what I'm saying? It's yeah. like, okay, so you get in the situation and you think, okay, because I think that most of us have probably been in a relationship where we said, this is it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is going to be perfect. And then you kind of get into it and there's yeah. like little things about them, little things yeah. about you that don't match. It's like, okay, well, it don't have to be oh, yeah. over. We can work through it.
Yeah.
Or we can't. You know what I mean? We got to yeah. move on to the next.
Nah, you got to communicate, man. What is your human design?
Which part, though?
I don't know. You on your top. I'm just looking at, you know, when I looked at your topics, it's not a bullet this time, but you said human
design.
Y'all
didn't even send me the motherfucking topics.
We didn't, no.
When have I last time have I sent anybody in it?
I know. That's why we're just talking.
I kind of lead and go from there.
So the human design is broken up into different parts. So you have your energy type, your authority.
What's mm-hmm. your gift? I have several gifts on here. And then I have
several too, but your primary gift. What's the primary gift? Mine is life's information keeper.
How do you know what your primary gift is?
Which goes hand in hand, which we talked about purpose last episode. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I kind of told you how I was like trying to figure it out. Because I've struggled with purpose because I have so many different interests.
Yeah.
And I just never wanted to box myself in.
Right.
Because I kind of feel like once you say you're doing something, it's like you got to commit to that, right. and that alone. And that scares me. So I've never committed to, this is my purpose. This mm-hmm. is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But when we talked last week, I said, I feel like just in a general sense, my purpose is to be a resource and educate people to make informed decisions.
Boom.
Regardless of what it's about,
yeah.
it's just period.
Just
and so it was refreshing when I ran the chart and yeah. it said that's my primary gift yeah. is being life's information keeper.
And like, I know when
that's pretty dope, life's yeah. information keeper.
But yeah. that's what I was telling you, Frank, when I was telling you about it. It wasn't to say, hey, go pay for this to do this, to find things out.
I was fucking with
you. No, I know. But I'm just saying.
You do it though?
No.
Yeah.
You did.
I had to get it on the Android app. I got it, but I ain't fuck with it though.
Yeah,
I did download it.
But look at it, because we'll be talking about it yeah. over the next couple of weeks. So that's why I was saying, like, take a look at it, because you like, you know how you know who you are, Frank, at this mm-hmm. age. You know what you want.
Yeah.
You know your desires.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaky to actually click into this shit.
Yeah.
And see it, and then it is explained to you. So I'll give you one, like my gift, and it tells you like your gifts, like gift one, gift three. So for me, I have gift 1, 3, 10, and 11. 11 and 32. It was more, but I just took mm-hmm. a few to break them down. So the first one being gift one, it says you are a creator of new things and you're highly original and you don't like to follow anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
What do I talk about all the time? Not following trends.
Right.
Being a trendsetter. The reality is where filtering becomes extinct, where you are always being yourself. So then it says the number one comes first in anything and you use a lot of your left brain.
Mm-hmm.
You get bored and you don't follow the trends of others. As you read this shit, it's like spot on.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you, what I've learned from this is like, it allows me to read these things about myself. And it also tells you, you know what? It's okay to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
So it talks about, let me see. It was one where it talked, my emotion is non-emotional.
Uh-huh.
And it said, my natural mood is cool, calm, and collective, and nonchalant. What did you used to hate about me? How nonchalant wanna, like, how
but
nonchalant
I'm non-emotional
wanna,
too.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Did it give you like a breakdown of those non-emotional things, or did you look at it?
It did give me a breakdown, but the one that I wanted to talk about for my gift, the other one that stood out to me was my ability to embrace life with a childlike innocence.
Oh, that's definitely.
And that is something that's big for me because, you know, as you continue to get older, especially as a woman, people kind of look at you or you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to be acting like this.
This, yeah.
As opposed to just appreciating the fact that I am very much a big kid. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I have been, that's something that I've been accepting. And going back to your point about overthinking, that's very true. I did spend a lot of time worried about things that happened in the past or what I was going to be doing in the future. Yeah. But now that I'm being more intentional about staying present and accepting myself for who I truly am, this is the happiest that I've been. See? And I feel like I'm living life freely.
I hope y'all listening to this, man. Seriously, this is some important shit we talking about.
And I told her that last week because I could tell the energy
shifted.
Thank you for sharing. Because I know when she used to be like playful and shit, like if she got around me and she knows how I am, she would like dial it back. Yeah. And I think last week and a couple of, over the last month or so that we've been talking about this when we've hung out, she'll tell me, your face is slipping.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, put it on. Your face is slipping.
Look, I wanted to see how long it was gonna last. Mike, edit that shit out. Bro. Yeah,
but
this motherfucker coming off in five minutes.
Right, but I told her, I was like, you know what? I said I've enjoyed being around you as of late in the studio and everything else because I said I feel like you're finally accepting who you are. I think it used to irritate me because you would go in and out of character. Almost.
Yeah, because I felt like I had to in order to like I had to adjust based on the environment that I was in.
Yeah.
Because it was almost like a real kid, like, oh, let me not get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, who wants to go through life like that?
Yeah.
Nobody.
So when you were doing that shit last week, I was just like, I hit her up and I said, hey, man, I appreciated being around you and your energy this week. Like, just being yourself, because I can tell you are working on just being yourself. Mm-hmm. And then it talked about me. I forgot the design number. Hold on. But it was just speaking to the point of how I get irritated with people who are stagnant. Mm-hmm. Or I get irritated with people who don't try to be better. Mm-hmm. Or I get irritated with people who make excuses for their lack. Mm-hmm. I totally do.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't like hand-holding nobody.
No.
Any woman I've ever dated, I always be like, I need you to have a backbone. Bitch, I'd rather you talk back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather you tell me some how you feel. Right. Like, most men are scared to date intellectual women with a backbone and a mind of their own. Me, I thrive in those situations.
Yeah, we need that.
You know what I'm saying?
That
I need to be able to say that's stupid, and you need to be able to say, well, that's dumb, too. I like a woman who can say, no, nigga, you ain't this. You are this. You're all of that. But also in this moment, get the fuck out of here.
And the thing is,
I don't agree with you.
Women, for us, I mean, that's... whether they want to admit it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in the stories and God came first, I mean, a man came first and women were made by the rib, whatever the fuck you believe.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, when you look at life, women are here to make us the best version of ourselves.
Exactly.
So that means that they have a knowledge and a power and an intuitiveness about them that we need in order to get to our best level.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So when you embrace that, like when I look at, you know, I got sisters, I got a lot of women in my life that I have a lot of respect for. I got mothers, you know what I'm saying? Like every woman that's ever been in my life has taught me something about life that I didn't learn from a man. A man, you know, we're very concrete. So it's like, you go through this task oriented, blah, 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 handle business, take care of responsibility and all that. Women will teach you about life, purpose, and all that extra shit that we ain't naturally thinking about, like at the forefront of our minds.
Nope.
So embrace that shit.
So
it was Women's History Month.
It was Gift 3, Innovation. And it says, you have an awareness of things not operating at its maximum level, and it irritates you when they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I can believe it, because I would tell her stuff. I'd be like, yo, man, you could do this, you could do this. She'd be like, oh, I'm trying to, I'm like, just do that shit. Like, stop making yourself small.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got to come in there and it's making people feel insecure, fuck them. That's on them.
Yeah, that's.
You operating at a low level. Stop dating and dealing with niggas who ain't even close to you. Like, stop being. Nigga, stop dating down.
But you also in that, both of y'all kind of, wait, now, what's how, if you don't mind, what we talking about? I know how old you are.
Oh, I'll be 39 this year.
Okay, oh, y'all coming up, y'all coming up. But I'm saying you're getting to that point where you're going to see that, oh, I'm way more comfortable on some, I don't give a fuck what y'all doing, this is what I'm doing kind of shit.
Yeah.
But you'll notice that for a long time, well, for that period of time, once you start making that transition, that there was a period of time where you were, not necessarily a people pleaser, but you considered what people thought about the things that you did. Once you get on that other side, it ain't like you like fuck everybody.
I got a little taste of it now, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, we always say, if I'm saying no to you, that means I'm saying yes to myself.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm gonna bless myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people not even on your level. Like I was telling the other day, I said I went on social media and I always never really delete people, but I've deleted a few people from the Reality Is page this week. Not based on anything petty. It's just like there's no more purpose being served. I don't need you on my shit. I don't want you on my shit. If you want to come back, come back. but I don't want you there. Mm. And I don't want to, I don't do the fake shit of like people on your shit, but not like
engaging.
They're not engaging with you. It's like, bitch,
I don't understand.
Now, if you're a person I don't know, you're just a listener of the podcast, that's cool.
Yeah.
But like people you actually know, people you've broken bread with, and it's like, okay, you're not talking to me, but you're always on my stuff and you haven't had any spats. You're not, it's like, you're just not useful. So let me remove you out of this space so I can make room for things that are, you know what I'm saying, that are going to be beneficial to me.
We're not going
to
be watering dead plants in 2024.
Right. Yeah. So this is another one that got me. Gift 10. It said, you came here to fall in love with life and share with others around you. The transformation of life that you go through makes you appreciate life. And oftentimes you may fall out of love with life and yourself. But that's because you're on a journey to define the next level and a new love of life. Bro. When I said that shit, what did we say on the last episode? I said, I have been struggling with not liking myself and not liking myself in the sense of like depression, but who am I becoming and figuring that out? So I cut my dreads, 2 years ago? That was the start of it. But then I kept my hair thick and curly and whatever else. Mm-hmm. So I told her this week, I said, man, I'm cutting my hair. When I was in Oklahoma City, I was like, when I get back, I'm cutting this shit off. I said, I'm going to look like a baby with a peanut head, but I'm cutting it off. I haven't had my hair cut since I was 20, bro.
Oh, wow.
Like a low haircut this. Yeah. And I did it because of insecure reasons and things I was going through at that time. And it's like, you know what? A part of getting over yourself is doing the things that you think somebody may think negatively of you and then taking that power back yourself.
Yeah.
So when I read this and I was reading up on this, I was like, yo, this is a part of cutting my hair, incremental gains of like, when I cut my hair, I grew a little bit. When I cut it this time, like I looked in the mirror and I was just like, is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long I'll be here, but this is who I am right now. I went, as soon as I got off the plane from Oklahoma City, I went to the mall, went on a little shopping spree.
Okay.
I said, I need to find me some things and buy some clothes that feel like me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When I went in the store, the lady was like, what are you looking for today? I was like, I'm turning 42 this year. And I've been struggling about how I want to dress because I don't want to look like the guy who doesn't grow up and he's always wearing Jordans and shit like that. But I also don't want to be like an old nigga because I ain't no sugar daddy. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I'm trying to find something in the middle to where I'm, you know, still kind of stylish and chill, but I don't like all them designs on my shirt and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just going up to high quality, figuring it out, bro, at this level and at this point in life.
Yeah. No, I go through that too. I think we all probably do in different ways.
And you know, we always talk about like every 5 years is like a new life.
Yes.
If you do it right.
Yeah.
Bro, we around for a long time. People are always talking about, you know, shit happening and life moving fast. It does move fast.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're paying attention, you can always be present at every time.
And that you have to be intentional about.
You do. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to talk about intention and manifestation when we come up. Mike, if you could cue up Future's Crushed Up. I want to play a little bit of this because of Lou Gossett. Shout out to, like I said again, condolences to Lou Gossett Jr., man. This was one of the last movies and songs that he was a part of on Watchmen on HBO, man.
Watchmen.
You're listening to The Reality Is Where Filter Becomes Extinct. We'll be right back.
That was the first hour. I can see it. Diamonds in face crushed up. I can see it. Diamonds in face crushed up. I can see it. Diamonds in face.
What were you saying something about before we left?
Being intentional.
Being intentional.
Yes.
So another part of this human design, shout out. People, if you're listening.
That was one of my gifts too, by the way.
What?
Being intentional. My being intentionality. Intentional? And I thought about that too because, you know, I'm getting ready to do my 12-week goal starting on April 1st. And I invited you to participate in it.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do what I need to do.
Yeah, you still ain't build it out. You did one thing.
Yeah, because that's because it fucked up. I got to get me a new desktop and a new laptop because my shit is stagnant. Mm.
But I thought about it because anytime I've ever like set goals to do something, I always write them down, put my head down, get it done.
Yeah.
So I was like, it will be fun. It will be helpful to go through that process with somebody. And I know we're kind of in the same phase right now. But yeah.
Having friends that appreciate a good deep dive into various topics.
Yeah, I thought about that because we have been going back and forth about human design.
Uh-huh.
And when we hit the franchise with it, he kind of gave us his response. And I sent it out to my friend, one of my good friends. And when I tell you, she went down the rabbit hole and was calling me.
Don't tell her who it was. Fuck that.
Was calling me.
Nah, fuck that. Go on and say who it was. Shy.
It was, yeah.
Shy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Go ahead.
I don't know why that's important.
Oh, it's important.
But yeah, so she went down the rabbit hole. She was like, oh my God, can I get on your calendar? We need this because we normally talk every Monday.
Yeah.
She was like, no, we got to talk again this week because she just had so many different things that she wanted to discuss with her chart.
Yeah.
And then we did a comparison side by side. Yeah. It was like and it was refreshing because not everybody goes into that deep detail with you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll be excited about something and you want to share it, but based on the reaction, you may or may not. So it was just refreshing.
Yes, no doubt.
I think that probably spoke to her. I think it's about if it speaks to you or not.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of deep diving into conversations, I've always thought it's very hard to probably impress a blue collar worker. Like, they're no nonsense, get into it, get it done. And this week when I was working in Oklahoma City, we were working at a new hospital, and it's a new build hospital. So it's being expanded out from an old one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of construction workers there. You know what I'm saying? I had to wear a hard hat and do all of that shit.
Yeah, hard hats on.
Yeah, it was weird. You know what I'm saying? Doing all of that shit. But I met this guy. He was an elevator operator. And the reason he had to be an elevator operator, all the electricity and stuff hasn't been set up to where you push a button and you go up. So he was doing it the old school way.
Oh, with the big thing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so he was doing it the old school way. So we loading up stuff, you know, we going up. And he's cool, but he's like, he ain't really saying shit. Well, since I've been doing this human design stuff, a part of what makes me who I am is I engage with people. Mm-hmm. I entertain people. I try to shift my mood and I feel their moods. And they talked about this on here too, about how my gifts and things like that is like filling people's vibes. The thing about me being non-emotional is because I connect with other people in the emotional state that they're in. You know what I'm saying? So I spoke
to him. Empath.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I spoke to him when we were going up one time. Nobody else was really talking to him. And then when I came down, we had to wait in between shipments going up. So I was like, hey man, how your day going? He was like, oh, it's going good. And from just speaking to him then, it opened up a whole conversation where I then learned he had been married 4 times. And on his third and fourth wife, he had 2 daughters. His fourth wife, he had 2 daughters. They're all born in July, and they're all born July 15th, 17th, 19th, and 21st. Mm-hmm. I said, bro, do you know how unique that is that you have had 4 girls by 2 different women all in the same month in the same week?
That's nuts.
Bro, that's crazy. He was like, my fourth wife thought that I did that shit on purpose. He was like, I didn't try. I said, even if you tried, you couldn't hit it. You couldn't hit the mark like that. I said, you need to really look into that. But I said, because that is different, bro. I said, that's pretty dope. I said, and it says a lot about you. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, yeah, I used to be in the oil field, but you know, he was like, I kept dragging my wife all over the country. And she was like, we're not going to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, so I'm doing this right now just to kind of, you know, get myself settled in. But he went into detail talking about his life. I gave him a little something about myself and he just kept going deeper. So by the end of the day, he started helping us with things we were loading on the elevator. So by the time we would load something and come back, he had already took it back upstairs, pushed it off the elevator, came back down. So I started another conversation with him and I said, I appreciate your help, bro. I said, but if I can ask you, what made you do that? And he was like, do what? I was like, help out. You know what I'm saying? He was like, because you were nice to me and you were speaking to me. I said, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
I said, being engaged and interacting with people and treating people like people, it goes a long way. I said, bro, I'm tired of pushing all of this shit up there. We moving cabinets, it's 500 pounds, whatever the case may be for medical supplies. And he pushing that shit out. I was like, bro, thank you for making my job easier.
Yes.
So he was giving me some suggestions of where I could eat at in Oklahoma City, so on and so forth. And before I left, because other people who were working with me, when they saw the interaction between me and Renee, that's his name.
I like that name.
Yeah, for a guy especially. Mm-hmm. So, and shout out to my guy in Austin, Renee. But the thing about it was, bro, by the end of the day, they saw our interaction and everybody else started interacting with him.
Mm.
So by the time we left.
You're a leader with that.
Right. So by the time we left on Thursday, when we finished work on the last day of work, everybody was dapping each other up saying, hey, have a great day.
Yeah.
Have a great week. Hope to see you guys again. Like, it was some kind of interaction.
Look at you changing culture.
But by leaning into my gifts, bro, and reading this shit and being like, because sometimes you question whether you want to speak to somebody, whether you want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But by this stuff, this human design, my design, it's like, bro, be who you are regardless. You know how we talk about when you speak to a white person and they don't even speak or they rude? It's like, don't let the bad ones fuck up what you like, your mood and the way shit is. I used to be like, oh, you ain't speak? Well, fuck you too. Now it's like,
You might still get that.
You might, depending on the day.
Not all the time.
But it's like, don't let that shit really make you change how you view white people because this one dickhead.
Exactly.
Because in Oklahoma, I was telling her, I said, bro, it's all interracial dating.
Mm.
Like, everybody's light skinned. And I've been talking about that. Like, in the Midwest, like Iowa, fucking Chicago, fucking St. Louis, Oklahoma. Interracial dating. I mean, I ain't even just talking about black and white. I'm talking about anything that ain't the same thing, they together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, it's beautiful to see that. Like on my project this week, it was a white guy that damn near looked black, light skinned, but he's from New Orleans, so he got the red, like, beard.
Oh, okay.
He looked real red. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a white chick from Colorado, a gay white dude from fucking Oklahoma, a biracial black and white dude from Oklahoma. It was like everybody melting was pot. Just a melting pot, bro. And it was amazing to work in that, and everybody respected each other, bro.
Yeah.
And as opposed to being here in Texas, you just, it's hit or miss.
Exactly. And the good thing about what happened with you in that experience is sometimes we got to recognize that, you know, we're the leaders, you know what I'm saying? We're the trailblazers. And what happens is when you are that person, like how you behave, it kind of gives people permission to also
be who they
follow
are.
Suit and behave the same.
Exactly.
Way. They're waiting for somebody to show them, is it okay to talk to the elevator guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't think so, but really a lot of people move through life trying to figure out, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? And then when they see somebody else, they're like, oh, okay, cool, I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, I went home. He was like, I ain't gonna even lie. When I went home last night, I was talking to my wife about you. I said, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You had a good experience and you sent it. And I've told her many a times when a random white person will talk to me and we have a great conversation, mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder if they go home and tell their family their interaction they had. Because now you don't have to let TV and media give you a depiction of who a black man is. You experienced a real black man, not one that's a creator or a character on a TV show. And I think that's very important. And you can only get that through honest interactions.
Exactly.
You can't get that standing on the sideline giving a stank face, or like when we were coming up the elevator, the Hispanic people that didn't want to get on the elevator with us. Mm-hmm. Like, we ain't going to bite you. We ain't going to get you to the top of the building and throw you off that motherfucker. We're not going to rob you. We're not going to do any of that.
Right. But I'm also not going to say, hey, come on in.
Come on in. No.
I'm not doing that
either. I'm not doing
that. If you feel comfortable enough, then you're going to see that this is a safe zone.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's interesting. I know a lot of times we talk about what we watch in the movies and stuff like that. Have y'all seen The Society of the Magical Negroes?
No. I had mixed feelings about that.
Well, you can't have mixed feelings about it until you see it.
Just from the trailer. Just from the trailer.
Well, it is pretty good.
I don't know.
It's interesting.
What is it about?
It's okay. So
is it a movie that's out, or is it something that's on like a TV,
yeah,
like on
movie.
Hulu or something like
Society
that?
Society of Magical Negroes.
I've heard of it.
You saw the trailer and you was like,
Don't let the trailer discourage you from watching it.
Okay.
And I say that because there is this thing about, like, for the most part, the Society of Magical Negroes, like, their superpower is making white people feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I was like,
that's
man,
weird.
Hold on about that. But I knew that there was more
something
to the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, more to the movie.
Yeah.
So when you watch the movie, you kind of see, you know, how, like, I guess it's from a black person's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see the different levels of how people kind of go through trying to people, like black folks trying to people please white people.
Yes.
You see that there's different levels to this shit. And then you see when it kind of comes to a head, like you can feel how this person is reacting to the situation and finally telling this white person about, you know, how they make them feel based on what they said.
Yeah.
And like 100 times that happened before, he never said anything. So now he's saying something and it's like, you know what? Like, I really wish for anybody who lives like that to get to that point where they say something.
Nah,
you know what I mean? But it's really
something.
Good, though. I mean, I think that, well, it's slow. It's a love story. But there's also that part where you can relate to what this person's talking about, because I think we all may have gone through, even if it was a short period, where we were just trying to acquiescing to white people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because either we were taught that, we saw it on TV or whatever, and then we woke up and was like, what the now hold on, man, I'm going through this motherfucker like me. I don't give a fuck about nobody else.
Well, I was even telling, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'll check it out based on
you should. Yeah. I mean, I would. It's, you know, you won't be, it's a little slow, but it's a love story and there's a message. At the end is when it all comes together.
Okay.
Yeah.
What have you experienced in life that your kids or people close to you haven't? Where did you come up with that? What brought that about?
Well, you know, being a parent, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm constantly thinking about how I parent my kids, and I'm also right aligned with that, thinking about what I experienced as a kid when I was their age, you know? And, you know, I had very humble beginnings coming up.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think we all go through this. If you had humble beginnings coming up, then you have children. I think part of what you desire to do is to make sure that they don't have the same struggles you had.
Exactly.
The problem with that is, you know, you might create these little entitled motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
don't you know?
Yeah, I constantly kind of go through this. Okay, how do I still teach them the lessons without teaching them just to be entitled. I mean, just for the fact of just the way that I live my life, I think I've been, I mean, I was raised, born and raised here. My parents weren't.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of a head start when it comes to now I was born and raised here in this American society. So now I have children. So I have, you know, a path that they could follow if they chose to. My parents came from a whole nother country and just trying to make it. Know what I mean? So it was a totally different upbringing. So, you know, so what I was thinking about was the other day is, okay, so what if I experienced that my kids never experienced? My kids never experienced the lights going on unless it was some kind of weather event. My kids never had to like boil water because we didn't have hot water, eat sardines, shit like that. They never had to do none of that shit.
Water in your cereal.
They never had to do none of that.
Yeah.
They get all the top tier good shit.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, but I was just thinking about, you know, we all have family members. Obviously, you have children too. Mm-hmm. You have your niece.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, is there anything that you think about that you experienced when you were growing up that the children or the young people in your life don't have to experience and never probably would have to?
Yeah, see,
I was just curious.
I didn't experience any of that growing up myself. Mm-hmm. So I knew that when I did have kids, they weren't going to experience it either.
Right.
The only thing that I've experienced that they haven't experienced is the loss of a parent.
Yeah. Mm.
And so a lot of times I feel like that's why I'm so hell bent on making sure they get everything before one of us, like something happens to one of us, because I just want to make sure they're like fully prepared. I think that my mom did a great job with me, but just because of age and timing, there was a lot of stuff that I was not aware of, a lot of lessons that I didn't get to have her to talk to about.
Yeah.
So I just want to make sure that they're always able to talk to me and get as much as they can from me while I'm still here.
And it's funny you say that, because my mom hit me up yesterday. Funny story. I've been working on not smoking as much. You know what I'm saying? I want to, because I never smoked until I had Bell's palsy. And then that's when I kind of
never
smoked, bro. Mm-hmm. I was 36 years old, 34, 36, whenever Bell's palsy hit me. I had sold the shit, done other stuff, but I never smoked it.
Okay.
And that was the only thing that a doctor told me could help my situation, you know, with me having Bell's palsy, and it did. But we never want to talk about the addictions we get, and that's another story. But to the point, my homeboy, Michael Johnson, the guy I went to high school with, posted something. He was like, if your mom is still here, you're blessed. And it made me think about you, because you always say that, you know. So I had told you the other day, I was like, yo, I talk to you and other people every day, every other day, every week, or I'm seeing you on a monthly basis, whether it's podcasts or just whatever. I got to do better with my mom.
Definitely.
Call my mom more, try to see her more, so on and so forth. And my mom was texting me, and I went to tell her the same story I just told y'all about me trying to step out and talk to her more. And I was like, you know what? I was leaving a message, because my mom loves to send these little videos on Instagram. So I was leaving her a message on Instagram, an audio message. And I was like, fuck, I'm just talking and you only can do it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I stopped at like the 55 second mark, and I tried to send it. And because I was trying to make sure I got it all through, I fucked up and it deleted it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm gonna call her. So I was going through my call history and I'm scrolling. I'm like, damn, I done went through like 8 pages and I'm like, my number not there. Of course I could go to my contacts, type it in, whatever. But I'm going through and I'm like, damn, I don't see her name there.
Right.
So then I immediately started feeling bad, because I was like, fuck, I ain't even been calling my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit me. Well, my mom is no longer saved under my phone, under mama. It's under her middle name, Yvette.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally was going down a rabbit hole of feeling bad. And then I was like, I am high, because I smoked and I had to smoke.
I'm high.
Because it was like, it had me going down a deep, dark hole. And I was like, damn. I said, oh, shit, it's Yvette. And I could go back to the first page. And I was like, okay, here go her number.
Yeah.
So I called my mom and I told her this whole story.
I'm so glad you feel better now.
Yeah, she was like, boy, you crazy. I was like, I'm sitting on this couch high as hell, going down a rabbit hole about, damn, I ain't even reaching out to mom and none of that shit, because I don't see mama on here.
Yeah.
Bro, but I told my mom, I was like, you know what? I got to do better. If you need something from me, if you call me, even if she calls me, I used to be like, I'll hit her back. Now I just answer.
Yes.
Because you just never know.
You never know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My mom's, when I was in college, I was in college in Rhode Island. My mom lived in Massachusetts. It was like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And she used to always drive down and come and see me on the weekends and things like that. And I remember, you know, because you're a freshman in college and all that stuff. So I'm running around trying to do what I'm doing and all that. And I remember one time she called me and she was like, okay, so let's have this conversation. She's like, I need to hear from you at least 2-3 times a week. You know what I mean? Even if it's just a check-in. And my mother, you know, she literally just does check-ins. We'd be on the phone for like 45 seconds.
Yeah,
she
my mom
wanna,
did it.
She just want to touch base, you know what I mean? But I remember when she sat me down, she's like, listen, son, you know, you're here. I'm in Massachusetts. We are an hour and a half away. You're over here in college. I realize that. And this is before cell phones now, so you got to understand.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I need to hear from you.
Catching a payphone downstairs on the court.
I don't care what you got to do. I need to hear from you at least 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
Every other day.
75 you know cents, man? Nigga.
Make sure.
Yeah.
I remember she told me that shit, and I was like, all right, man, I never forgot. Got it. Yeah.
It's important.
I'm already feeling it, even though we're in the same household. But when they go with their dad, like my son is very his phone stays on do not disturb. It stays on silent. My daughter, she's gonna reach out to me regardless.
Right.
Text, same thing. Phone call.
Same what, thing.
That's my little that's my right hand.
Yeah.
But him, I'm like concerned, and especially because he just got invited to participate in the summer residential program at SMU for their math and science department. Ooh. So he's gonna be staying on campus.
Love
and granted, it's SMU. I can easily drive there.
Yeah.
But he's gonna be staying on campus for a whole month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if I don't hear from you when you at your dad's house, like, how realistic is it that I'm gonna hear from you as much as I want to when you're off to college?
So guess what you're gonna have to do?
Reach out more.
Oh, that's what I do
but
now.
You're
going to have to have a conversation.
You're going to have to.
I've had the conversation.
Well, you're going to have that bitch again.
No, I'm not a phone person, mom.
Yeah, I know. Just send mommy a text.
Yeah. But that's the same thing I told my mom last night, too. I was like, yo, we've been talking more. We've been interacting more. I said, but you know what? I got to give you some props. I said, you've actually been engaging with me more, too. Because I think in any relationship, it's difficult when you're always the one that's reaching out. You're always the one that's saying, hey, everything good. But if they start doing it just a little bit, it don't even have to be as much as you. If you do it 4 times and they do it 1 time, it's like it breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why I say with friends that don't reach out or don't whatever, they're not my friends. Those are associates.
Right.
So there's no need for me to have your phone number in my phone. There's no need to be doing anything on social media because, nigga, we don't talk.
Right.
Now, all the people that I don't know to just support the show, great. Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
But people who know me, it's like,
and
nah,
they're
I'm
the ones that tend to engage way more than the people you actually
people
know anyway.
Yeah.
So.
That's why I'd be like, there's no need for the person. Just because I know your name and know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
I got to stay in contact with you.
Well, you know.
Nah, I'm good. I'll pass. And most of the people ain't pouring shit into me anyway. Like, I am a life generator.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And not in an arrogant way, but just talking about going back to my design.
Mm-hmm.
People feed off me. I don't feed off people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many times, especially when we used to be going to all of this shit back in the day, people like, oh, man, I never forget going to one of Christian's parties one time and this guy that I met through him came up to me and he was like, man, yo, this is a really funny guy, man. It was almost like, hey, tell him a joke.
Tell
a joke.
Pull
my string. I'm Teddy Ruxpin.
Come on.
Yo, motherfucker, I'm not supposed to entertain you.
Yeah.
That is not my job to entertain you and make you laugh.
Tell us a joke.
Because you listen to the podcast or when I'm being myself, it's funny to you. I'm not trying to be, like I told you, I'm not trying to be funny.
Sometimes.
I just tell you who I am and I do what I do and sometimes it makes people laugh or have fun. Bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're not visiting, I'm not telling no jokes. I'm not visiting my TI on.
Fuck I look like.
God.
I don't know what this nigga's doing at the Laugh Factory and shit, but
hey, man,
he's
listen.
Living his best life.
Exactly.
And I can get with that.
Exactly what he want to do.
Yeah.
He's doing what he want to do. He's a legend in the rap game.
Yeah.
And again, and listen, everybody's on the pivot.
Yeah.
Everybody trying to figure what's the next thing?
What's the next thing?
I was just having a conversation. Shout out to my brother, I Minicon. We were just talking and he was like, yeah, bro, what I'm doing right now is probably going to sustain me for the next 3 years. So whatever I need to do after that, I need to start building it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what
I mean?
Gotta figure it out.
Build up to it.
Yeah, it's the same thing with podcasting. Like, we had a couple of powwows this week via text. Like, hey, what can we do to pivot, to change some things, to be more engaged
with
some things out there? You know what I'm saying?
Let's get on WhatsApp, man.
Who?
WhatsApp.
I already got WhatsApp. You know me and you. Me and you have been there. You got to get her there.
You can use WhatsApp with what I already got.
Listen.
It'll just be on that other phone.
No, listen. This is the thing.
I'm not going to download that shit.
No, but listen. Because the thing is, we can interact a little bit. And it does, I don't think it has anything to do with the whole iPhone thing.
Yeah.
But on WhatsApp, there's just a lot more ways to communicate.
I got it.
You know what I'm saying? I can respond to specific messages, heart shit. You know what I mean?
The way we
all
do
the
on
stuff
iPhone.
That we do every day.
Yeah, on iPhone.
But it's okay.
I can't do that.
You find me on there. I'm on there.
You on there?
Yeah.
But only on a different phone, on your
it's
other
on
phone.
My, yeah, it's on my really.
Yeah, we can
phone.
Still all connect with that way. That's how we do.
I thought about that after I sent that message. I was like, we can just use it. Yeah, I don't have to put that on here.
I don't want you to have to switch phones and shit.
It's okay.
We'll see what happens.
Finding my place through networking. I know you've been kind of putting yourself out there. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. How do you feel about it? What made you want to get out there and start networking a little bit more? And before you do that, mm-hmm. she hit me up the other day and she was like, do you think we are a crutch to each other? I said, we're good friends. And it's not a crutch. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're friends. We show up for each other. And I'd rather have you around than not have you around, because you show up more than most people, if not all the people in my life.
So you don't agree? That
no, I was like,
well, I don't think he's a crutch. I don't know what I was just, doing that day.
Yeah, you weren't doing anything. That was the point. Normally, you would hit me and say, "Hey, you want to go grab some eat or go do something?"
Because you were out of town, and I was getting. It was a pretty day, and I was like, "Oh, I'm about to go get me some lunch." Mm-hmm. And I went to pick up the phone to be like, "Hey, you want to go?" And I realized that he wasn't here, and then I was like, "Well, do I really want to go by myself?" I ended up going by myself, but I don't know. It just made me think of that question. Yeah. I don't look at you as a crutch. It was just one of those things. Like, it was just like, are we a crutch for each other? Because I know a lot of times I don't look to do anything if I know he's not gonna be included, or I don't know, it's kind of weird. I know what I'm gonna get from him when we hang out. So,
and there's no pressure of anything or none of that shit. And I told her, I said, I think you probably think that because when we were together, I told her, I said, that's what made it hard for us to break up, or for me to, you know, try to get to that point of being like, all right, if this is over, let's separate it. But we always had a friendship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, people used to always be like, oh, why don't y'all get back together? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yo, she's too valuable for me to be playing around, going back and forth with. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't ever want to try something and then it's like, oh, the whole relationship, our friendship, like, she's too valuable for games. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I told her, I was like, no, you're not a crutch. Maybe in the beginning after we broke up, because we were so used to being around each other, and because we were friends and we were in significant others and partners, it was hard to separate that because we hung out so much. Mm-hmm. So after the fact, it was like, yo, who am I supposed to be hanging out with? And then every girl I hung out with, it was like, you paying for dinners for bitches you don't even know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And motherfuckers want to have sex after a month, and I'm not a one night stand type person. And everything was quick. And I'm like, can I just go out and have some fun? And that's where we always hung out, when people like, y'all still hanging out after being together? Because I can hang out with her, and like she says, I know what I'm going to get. I ain't going to get nobody asking and begging and trying to pressure me to do no shit that I don't want to do, like women that you think are your friends and they got hidden agendas.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, well, absolutely.
You know what
Men
I'm saying?
Men and women tend to have hidden agendas.
Now, finding my place through networking.
Mm. Oh,
I'm glad that you got back to that. Before going on a whole tangent.
Right. I forgot all about it. But no, if you want to go somewhere, like for me, we've been talking about leveling up. So I realized the importance of having to put myself out there more.
Yeah.
Gosh. It's been difficult, but I think I found a space and a way to do it. And I will say that networking this week, because I went to a networking event, it was like more of a private event. And I appreciated that more because the vibe was different.
Yeah.
The people in the room, of course, were different. So it was refreshing to be able to see all of these beautiful Black people in all of these different spaces, very successful. And to walk into the room and actually feel like I belong here.
Yeah.
That's been difficult for me, because a lot of times with me just being shy or reserved, I walk into spaces and know in my mind that, okay, yes, I deserve to be here, but it doesn't always, you know, come across that way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a big thing for me this week was I was at the networking event, working the room, and I did not drink. And that was a big deal for me. You talked about addictions. I'm not going to say I was addicted.
Right.
But a lot of times in spaces where it requires me to show up and be social, I would always have to have an edible or throwback more than a few drinks to get comfortable.
Just to get comfortable.
But just being there and able to move around and be comfortable enough to present as myself, that was a big deal.
What does addiction look like? Speaking of addiction, because, you know, sometimes I feel like we are addicted to things and we don't want to say it. But if you look at the definition of addiction, which I don't, can you look that up real quick while I'm talking about this?
Yes.
Like, when you think about the definition of an addiction, I think like a crackhead or somebody who's addicted to sex or who can't put something down. And it's like, you can be a functioning alcoholic. You
Most
can be
definitely.
A functioning whatever.
Functioning.
What is addiction? What is it? What does Guinness or Webster say?
The fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity.
It's vague.
How do you define it with the word? So this is how I define it, because to me, I think that it's important for us to be able to look at terms or whatever and say, okay, how does my brain define this thing? So to me, an addiction is a situation where you're doing something so much that it actually has and it compromises things that you do that you would normally do in everyday life. Like if you can't do this thing that, you know, like it really has a negative effect on your life, like drinking or this. And like you said, people that's functioning alcoholics, that's functioning coke heads, functioning crackheads.
Yep.
But the key word is functioning.
Yes.
Because most people who are addicted to those substances don't function very well.
No. No, it made me think about that, bro, because I was just like an addiction. And that's when it brought me to like marijuana. And I was like, people be like, hear so many people say you can't be addicted to marijuana. Yes, you can.
Some people say you can, man. A lot of people believe that.
They believe you cannot.
Oh, I believe you can.
Yeah, but I believe you can. And the reason I say that is I remember when I didn't smoke for a period of time, I felt the withdrawal, and the withdrawal was nausea. Mm. And I remember being like, what the fuck is this? Like, I haven't smoked in a few days. I feel nauseated. And then I remember smoking, just hitting that bitch one time. And I was like, all right, the ache and the pain. It wasn't the pain, but it was like that ache.
Like somatic. Like a somatic.
Exactly. Kind of thing, yeah. So in that moment, I was like, all right, I need to make sure I'm not smoking every day. I'm not doing this or whatever. Because when, like I told you, when I had Bell's palsy, I did that shit all the time just to try to get past it. I still would do it from time to time now because the effects of Bell's palsy don't go away. Mm-hmm. Like my face is not droop, but like I can still feel the pain in my jaw sometimes, or my jaw clench up or it'll tighten up, or my eye do this little flutter thing. So it's like I still do it from time to time. Mm-hmm. But I thought it made me think about addiction. I'm like, we don't like to say the negative things about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like this human design stuff, because you realize why you do things, why you don't do things, and then understanding the things that you do and don't do. You know what I'm saying? But an addiction, bro, is like, I think it, in order to see that you have an addiction, that means you have to be self-aware.
Right.
And a lot of people aren't self-aware.
That's the key. And I think we talked about just in the past being addicted like porn and things like that.
Yeah.
And some people might think, like some guys especially, might think, oh, I'm not addicted to porn and things like that. But then they can't, when they got a badass naked chick in their bedroom, they can't get up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're so used to being stimulated that way. That is a symptom of addiction.
Yeah.
You need that in order to get to the state versus this here.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to look at how these things affect you as well.
No, for sure. Technological advances create more control for the average human. Where did you come up with this, Herb?
Well, because I mean, when we look at AI and we look at, you know, like the just the same thing. Like we're in that generation where I grew up without the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I grew up without cell phones and shit like that. When I was 13, 8th grade, 9th grade, it wasn't motherfuckers running around with cell phones.
Nope.
My kids got them, right? So it's like, okay, when you think about just technological advances, like anything that you can think of that's an advance, you selling houses, shit like that. You know, this whole internet of things where you can walk in a house and talk to everything.
Yeah.
That shit is dangerous.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? What we don't think about, like at first with Facebook, Instagram, and all this shit, and motherfuckers probably still to this day don't even realize how these people are in bed with the government.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With the defense. You know, all like these motherfuckers, technology, like they have. I didn't even realize this shit. They have technology now. Law enforcement.
Yeah.
Where they got cameras that are outside of like most malls, just reading every license plate that comes into the mall.
Yeah.
So I remember the other day I was reading the report. These kids stole a car from somewhere, decided to go to the mall.
Yeah.
So of course, as soon as that license plate hit, send it to the Arlington Police Department, and them motherfuckers went to the mall.
Minority report.
Yeah. And it's exactly what it is. They had the motherfuckers on camera, watched them go into the mall, called into the mall, told the security, hey, look for these three kids, this, that, and the other. They're in a stolen car. Arrest them, hold them until we get there. Like, I'm like, yo, you can't do nothing these days. They got cameras everywhere. They got, you know, they also got technology where the I don't know exactly what it is. Like a motherfucker who's a techie could probably explain this shit better, but basically it all like the different areas of the city, stoplights and shit like that, wherever there's like a like gunfire, them motherfuckers can zone into that area and they can start, you know what I'm saying, like reading license plates and all of that kind of shit.
CCTV.
That's
what it is.
They call it the flock system in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
But it's basically anytime that there's any type of vibration like that, the motherfucking law enforcement can see where it's at and start tracking the vehicles and everything like that. You know, so it's like you think about things that happened during 9/11, the, you know, the Patriot Act and all that shit. Motherfuckers, just the phones with the microphones and all of the videos.
Yeah, all of this shit.
All of the technological advances essentially create more control for the human beings and the users.
Yeah, but you know? That's the thing, bro. It's like, I think if it's being used in the right way, that's fine.
Absolutely.
But just like in the Minority Report, exactly. But just like in the Minority Report, it was meant to stop crimes before they happened.
Yes.
But then it started to try to kill people or put people in jail who are having thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to fucking try and arrest me for having a thought?
Having a thought.
Because if that ever gets to that point, then everything that we think about on Instagram and everything that we talk about on Instagram, you could go to jail for.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Imagine that shit.
Hey, well,
hey, I would have been buried under the jail.
Under that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Because I had some wild thoughts.
That's what I'm saying. Wow. Yeah, bro. That's why I be like, that's why I say I don't like the government, and then it doesn't apply to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, I think it was Jon Stewart talking on The Daily Show, and he was talking about, like, Trump and all this fraud and all this shit he's doing, and you'll have a lot of white people or pretentious rich people saying, oh, well, you know, people do that all the time. You know, realtors do this shit, insider trading, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Trying to justify shit.
Trying to justify, but it's like Jon Stewart said, he was like, but if a regular person does something and say they have 20 dependents on their taxes when they only have two, and they get $10,000 back instead of $3,000, you're going to try and put them under the jail for 3 years, or you're going to try and make them pay that, or you're going to call it tax evasion. But this nigga does it for millions of dollars, for decades, and you don't want to do nothing about it, and we giving this nigga a pardon to get ready to possibly run the country. This shit is fucked up. And then they wonder why the morale of this motherfucking country is down, or, you know, you having insurrections and everything else, because niggas is tired of this shit. Even white people are tired of the bullshit that white people doing.
And that's the sad thing about it, is us being, you know, I mean, I'm not in a lower class and I'm not in the upper class.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, I'm in the middle class.
Yeah.
And we are the ones that suffer the brunt of all this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're the ones that make the country run. We're the ones that have to, you know, capitulate to all the laws and shit like that. Most of that shit applies to us because the motherfuckers that got the money are in bed with the you know, the lawmakers and shit like that. So they create it in a way that it doesn't affect them the same as us, even if you just look at the fucking taxes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
We upholding this thing. We the middle one.
We spend that. I mean, they get that shit before we get it.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to take that.
Yep.
And I'm going to take that.
Yep.
You know?
And that's why I be like, when a motherfucker is robbing and stealing, have at it. My mind is now changed when I see these black
people
robbing these malls. Have at it.
You know?
Take that shit.
Just don't
sell
just
that
don't,
shit.
Don't shoot nobody.
Just don't shoot nobody.
Don't shoot nobody.
Bust that shit up, though.
You know?
They be killing me in the comments when white people be so mad about this shit. And I'm like, can we put the shit that y'all stealing?
I mean, come on.
And the shit that y'all doing?
Yeah, just because it don't look like that. Yeah. It's the same behavior.
It's the same behavior.
Y'all just stealing neighborhoods and shit.
Exactly.
These motherfuckers stealing clothes.
They just stealing clothes. You know what I'm saying? That they can only control that.
Come
but
on,
it's
man.
Like everybody is doing something. It was just like, I forgot the guy who did it. I don't know if he's a gay pastor here in Texas, but it was a white guy, and he was talking about how the Bible doesn't speak about these particular things. I think he talked about homosexuality and so on and so forth. And he was like, but God, the Bible does talk about forgiveness of debts and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So in the comments, a lot of people were talking about, they were just saying like, God, the Bible did say this, the Bible did say that, just coming at the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally was like, all of this shit was man-made. Jesus only said not even a third of the shit that they said in red. All of this judging, like, it's like we all look to judge somebody. And it's like, bro, nobody ain't got no room to talk about nobody or judge nobody else, bro. Because like they always say, if you get into that closet, move some of them hangers around.
Bro.
Them little Halloween skeletons popping out in this
Listen,
bitch.
Man, I'm not a religious person, but yet, let he without sin.
Cast that motherfucking
first stone.
Yeah.
Fuck out my face with that bullshit.
Hey. And that's why, and it's like when people try to enforce the Bible, they're breaking a rule of the Bible while they're trying to cut, you know, bring somebody else down. That's why I'd be like, yo, man, just be good.
So,
be a good person, man.
Speaking of Bibles, are y'all going to buy the...
No. I don't even know what you're about to say, but no. Did it sound like you said Trump?
Yeah, yeah. You know your boy got a Bible that he's like endorsing and selling this shit along with his fucking sneakers.
Nah,
buy that shit?
Nah, bro.
No,
I'm not going to help you get out of debt so you can motherfucking run the
country.
They
already helped him by cutting his bond in half.
Man, listen. They want that motherfucker in.
So that's why I'm like, get his niggas 4 years so we can get over it. Just give him the 4 years to get over it.
You know what? And honestly, that part is where I'm kind of at when it comes to that. Because if this motherfucker get 4 more years, he done.
Just get him over it.
If he don't get him,
he
always going to be looming over our heads. Like, nigga, I'm coming back at some point.
Yeah, he's
and his people going to make sure he come back.
Yeah. Get this shit.
They going to get him up in that bitch.
Get his shit, get it done. He liable to die right after that term. Just
and look, and at the end of the day, It ain't like fucking Joe is doing anything that made me feel like I want to bat his ass again. I'm just saying. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, he can't even put his speeches together. No, he can go and get him out.
Yeah, we ain't going to go political, but we need to keep our eye on the shit.
Get
yeah.
that nigga out of here. If you had more time, what would you do with it? Where are you, yeah. where are you coming up with all this?
Well, because again, man, we live in life and shit. You know what I'm saying? We always, and sometimes, this is the kind of person I am. When a motherfucker say some shit,
yeah.
you know, I'd be like, what exactly does that mean? You know what I mean? Because yeah. there's people that are running around that'd be like, man, I wish I had more time to do this, and I wish I had more time to do that. Yeah. I'm like, but do you really mean that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you had more time, what really would you do with it?
What would you do with it?
You know, I was talking to one of my homies the other day, and we were having a conversation, kind of like you were saying earlier about, you know, can you have conversations, like real conversations yeah. with people? You know, I was having a conversation with one of my friends that I don't generally have, because I think that sometimes we judge ourselves so yeah. much that, you know, with the shit that I'm thinking, that I don't want to talk to y'all about it, because yeah. I'm going to feel bad that I'm even thinking the way that I think.
Yeah.
But we were just kind of having a conversation about this shit and just talking about everything that's happening in the country and how easily you can get distracted and look at your life and really not find anything to be happy about.
Yeah.
You know, and I was listening to this radio show, and it was talking about, if you had, I think it was more about kind of encouraging mental health and kind of encouraging therapy.
Yeah.
Because if you're having trouble figuring out what you would do if you had more time, then you probably need to, you know, talk to somebody and try to figure out some things that you might be interested in that make you happy. And going yeah. back to what we talked about, we're responsible for our own happiness. Yeah. I got to figure out what's going to put a smile on my face. What's going to boost my energy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, because we can get caught up in a lot of this bullshit that's happening.
Yeah. I'm getting, I'm supposed to have an appointment with a new possible therapist next week, Kennedy Musamali.
Okay.
I like the name.
Musamali.
Yes. Yeah, Musamali.
I love it.
Yeah, so I'm going to see how this go.
Probably black as fuck, too.
He is black. He look like he may be a little African. I was like, we'll see where it's
Musamali,
at.
Musamali, nigga? Yeah,
definitely.
Hell yeah.
Gene, my last therapist, he was Jamaican. No, he was Jamaican.
Mm.
No, he was Jamaican.
Okay. Because
I thought he was Nigerian. And he's like, no. Because I asked him and I tried to
That's
guess
what it. Was.
And he was like, nope. He said, I'm not Nigerian. He's like, I'm Jamaican. I was like, okay.
Jamaican, okay.
And I tried to get him back, bro, because I had got him through the BetterHelp app.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've been trying to find them, and it's like they want you to pay this shit before you even get back. And I'm like, so I'm trying to find his number. I'm trying to reach out to him. BetterHelp works, man.
BetterHelp.
Yeah. Shout out to Keandra Jackson. She's on BetterHelp.
Okay.
She's a great therapist. Yeah. I would think, you know, based on the way she speaks and her being on the podcast previously, I would think she's pretty mm-hmm. dope to talk to.
Yeah.
She's very open minded. She is religious based, but she doesn't push religion.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, most of the shit is religious based.
And I think that's the importance for me.
Which is
like,
fine.
Yeah. You know? But a lot of times when I'm trying to find a therapist and looking
but
for
is
a therapist,
it religious
I don't want
or
that.
Is it spiritual? I think it's a different.
Yeah.
I think it's more so spiritual, because when you talk about going inward and taking a look at yourself,
yeah.
it all goes together.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Interview.
How do you manifest things? Start with you.
How do I manifest?
Yes.
Things?
Is it like, and what I mean by that, do you feel like it's, and this is again from Human Design, do you mm-hmm. feel like the universe put it there, or is it ego driven? Because
no.
it talked about on the Human Design, when people manifest things, yeah. it's either ego driven, like, hey, I want this mm-hmm. because you've seen other people have this mm-hmm. and you want this. Or sometimes the universe lays it on your heart mm-hmm. and you see something or you do something and you're like, yo,
yeah.
I may want that, whether it's a house or a car mm-hmm. or a person or a thing or a place you want to be or go.
Yeah.
Does it come to you by mm-hmm. by way of the universe or your ego?
Yeah, it's all from inside. I'm not going to say the universe. I feel like everything, all of the messages once, even now, like the conversations that we're having, a lot of the stuff that we're coming across,
yeah.
it all starts to align with things that my soul
but
wants.
That's the universe.
No, I know, I'm just saying
oh. Because I was going to say, we are within this
yes.
evolving thing.
Of course.
Yes.
And it has to match up. And that's what they were talking about when I was listening to it this morning. She was like, some people may be like, oh, I want this mansion with this, this, and that. And she was like, if the intention behind it
mm-hmm.
is to live well, or mm-hmm. you want this certain house, she's like, what people don't understand is you may be drawn to that house or that mm-hmm. neighborhood. And when you move in, the neighbor that's next to you is the person that's going to get you to the next level, whether
right.
it's a friend or somebody you fall in love with, or just a business, you know, somebody with a business acumen that could get you to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But you wanted that house, but the mm-hmm. energy of what was around that person being next door may have drawn you to that, but you don't know it until.
And that's right. pretty much how my life has worked out.
Yeah.
For the most part. And I will say, because we are human, there are some occasions where you might see something and you'd be like, oh, I want that. But it's important at that point to be like, okay, do I really want this
yeah.
or do I want this just because it's something that I saw?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so for you, do you think when you manifest, is it ego driven or the universe, like a soul thing that you feel?
Yes.
That's how you got.
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think that when you take ego out of it,
yeah.
You know what I mean. Like, and you call yourself being in tune with the universe, it's mm-hmm. like, okay. Then my philosophy is the universe is working in my favor. So the things that I desire in this life that we live, the universe is working in my favor to bring those things to me. I'm attracting them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I believe also that, because ego doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was in a
training. Not if it's a dude.
Yeah, I was in a training the other day, and it had a few different definitions of what the ego is and ego function in our lives. And I think that the ego that we know,
yeah.
I think that sometimes there is some benefit to allowing your ego to flourish, because even if it's just to convince you that you deserve the shit that you're asking for.
Yeah.
Because I think that sometimes we start to say, you know, well, I don't deserve that. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, that's mm-hmm. and that's what it was saying here. It was like, things come to me quickest when I'm detailed about what I want, mm-hmm. and don't let your limited mindset get in your way of the things that you truly want.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And manifesting, you know, I've learned more about manifesting here in the last few years. And one of the things that it talks about is the universe doesn't take a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta be specific about the shit.
Yeah.
And you can't fuck around and say some shit that you really don't mean.
Yeah.
Because again, the universe is taking everything that you're saying.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I was reading this book. It was called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. And the example was kind of crazy, but I was like, you know what? It's really that simple. So this guy was talking about, I think that he used the term like, you know, I give my right arm in order for XYZ to happen.
Yeah.
And then motherfucker fuck around and lost his right arm.
And you know what's so funny? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, with him talking about being specific, that was one of the things that came up in the chart when it talked about manifesting and mm-hmm. my approach to manifesting. My approach is non-specific,
mm-hmm.
where they were saying that I know what it is that I want,
yeah.
but I'm not necessarily tied to like how it's going to come about.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, and that's something that I've questioned myself about, because I've heard that for so long, it's always like, watch what you say, be specific.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I don't have the specifics. I just know what
yes.
I see, like the bigger picture.
Right.
And I just feel like I'm going to figure it out when I'm supposed to figure it out.
Well, that's when I be like, God, you know my heart.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, because God is in the universe. God created the universe.
All of that,
yeah.
bro.
So I don't have to really say anything,
though
sometimes we do,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes we do have to be specific.
Yeah.
It depends on the lane area. Like, let me ask y'all a question.
Yeah.
Because this is where it like flipped for me. I became very much aware of all of this, learning how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, when you think about praying,
yeah.
for me, my growth and progression when it came to understanding prayer is that, oh, okay, when it comes to all this shit, it's mine.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't really need to ask God for anything.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I don't need to ask for anything.
Nope.
If anything, I'm just going to be thankful
yeah.
for the opportunities that are being presented
to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for nothing. Yeah. And when I was a kid, I used to ask for everything.
Yeah.
So I progressed. Learning how to pray
was a big deal, because I feel like growing up in churches like we grew up in, mm-hmm. I always felt like I had to be asking a certain way,
uh-huh.
and I was tied to that. So a lot of times I didn't even feel comfortable in my own prayers. Like, I would always say, oh, I know I'm living off the prayers of my granny, because I feel like she can get a prayer through
that, yeah.
right.
But now it's like I got my own prayers,
yes.
like, because now I'm more comfortable with just having a conversation,
yeah,
like, because right. that's really all it is.
Yeah.
It's not this whole Father God heaven
no.
and hope, like,
no, man. The progression that has happened on this podcast,
oh yeah, for sure,
it's a beautiful thing.
But, and you know, it's so crazy to say,
for
I know we
us.
Got a few minutes left, but with, like you were saying about the universe understands or hears you when you're saying things, it doesn't decipher things, it just takes what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I used to always be like, because, you know, I want my mom to be happy.
Yes.
I feel like she deserves, you know, she's been through a lot of shit, and I feel like she deserves a great guy.
That's right.
And I remember I would always pray and be like, Lord, if it means me being unhappy and not having X, Y, and Z for my mom to have it, I want her to have it. And then it got to a point a couple years ago where I was like, I want a healthy relationship.
Yes.
I want successful relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to keep adding bodies to my belt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know what? I want both of us. Both of us deserve this because of what we're putting out here, because of the energy that we're putting out here, because of the type of people that we are.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see her happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want her to be able to see me happy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, she's starting to do that shit. She's never done this, but she's starting to be like, hey, are you ever going to have any grandkids? And I'm like, you've never been that motherfucker.
Right.
You have never been that type of mother. I guess because I'm getting up in age, you're asking these questions now. But overall, it's like I want all of my people, the people that I fuck with, the people that I care about, to get the things and the desires of their heart.
Absolutely.
But it is important to understand how to manifest those things, how to pray. I was laying in bed last night and I couldn't doze off. And, I was just laying in bed and I was like, Lord, I do this randomly. I was just like, thanks for the activities of my limbs. Thanks for my mind. Thanks for the travel.
All of that,
you know,
man.
I just
thanks
go to basic things. And even when I'm on the plane, I'd be like, Lord, let it be safe.
Yes.
Let it be safe travels. But safe not travels. Just for me, for everybody
for
on this plane.
Yes.
If these people don't like black people, if these people are racist, I don't give a shit.
Don't even matter.
Bless them because there's somebody at home that loves them, that if this plane went down, they would be distraught.
Right.
Same thing like with the bridge in Maryland.
Yes.
When that happened, bro, I was just like, think about driving home and you on your way home from a late shift or you went to the store to grab some last minute and that bridge goes down and now you're in the motherfucking water and your life is over with. Shout out to the mayor of Baltimore where they were asking him about when you're going to build a bridge and he was like, I ain't worried about the bridge. We're trying to find people. People have lost their lives. We're trying to put this community back together and make sure the families that lost people have some kind of comfort of us finding their bodies in the water. We ain't worried about that. Why is it black people just have a different type of humanity and they don't give a shit about politics in the moment?
That's right.
Because that shit don't matter. Fuck the politics of, we're going to get the bridge built. Mm-hmm. How did it happen? No. People lost their lives.
Exactly. Yeah.
And somebody's career is over too.
And that's why we need to be in politics. That's
exactly.
Why we need to be in all of these spaces. That's why we need to be CEOs. We got to be in the boardrooms and all
this stuff.
It's
so crazy you said that. Tupac said that shit years ago. He said, we got enough ball players, entertainers, and all of that.
No doubt.
He was like, if we branched away from everything and we had our own shit, we're going to have a bunch of ball players, athletes, and entertainers, but not enough doctors, not enough managers, not enough teachers, not enough engineers. Mm-hmm. Everything is not about the money.
Right.
To have a successful society, you have to have people who, if the world ended, who can start the society again? I forgot what movie it was when they were talking about the world was going to end and they were making sure they got a doctor and a nurse and somebody who could fix this and fix that. Because if you ever had to start a world over or a community, you need people, you need five fingers to make a fist. If niggas hooping and entertaining, what, we going to hoop our way to a meal it don't matter?
Exactly.
We going to act our way to something? No, we need more people. That's why even after the careers of LeBron's and all of these people, they're invested into other things. Mm-hmm. What is your next skill? Because you got to have a life skill to make life better and go on. Basketball makes your life better because you get paid.
And entertainment.
But at a certain point, it taps out and it's like, what are you now?
Yeah.
Who are you now?
And these guys are, I think they're understanding more and more that they're more than basketball players.
Exactly.
For a long time, they was like, this is your lane and this is all you are.
Yeah.
And all it takes is for somebody to say, shut up and just dribble.
And now it's different.
Like, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. There's more to me than that.
My job is
motherfuckers like Kyrie, motherfuckers like LeBron, all these guys like speaking out like, no, I can be whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
I'm just good at basketball, but that's not all I am.
But that's not all I am.
Yeah.
Well, man, we wrapping up. This is episode 392.
392.
Franchise, appreciate you being back.
Yes, sir.
We didn't try to cut you out last week. I misread your text.
I did too.
And I told her, I said, this nigga said he was available on Fridays.
He asked me when we had, because originally we were scheduled to be here on Wednesday, which you were not available at all.
This nigga like, I'm listening.
And so when we had to reschedule it, he said, do we need to let him know? And I said, well, he said he only available on
whatever day
it was.
I was just like, I'm confused.
That's why I apologize.
Yeah, I'm gonna take some accountability for that.
Because I literally told her, I was like, "Are we?" Not? I said, "I still." And I even told her at one point, I said, "I would rather just tell him and ask him. That way, he doesn't feel left out."
Because I felt bad. I was like, "Oh my god," he said he was available.
I would love to. I was trying to make y'all feel bad too, but I was like, "That's my people, man. It's all good."
That's why I told her teeth. I was like, "This nigga,
don't do me like
I said,
that,
he not responding."
I take that shit to heart.
I was trying to respond to the text.
I was like, "I said no," but see, that's because fucking Tuesday. I'm telling you, man.
Okay,
it's crazy day.
I told her, I said, I'm going
to
call this
nigga at like 10:30.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm talking about from 7 a.m. to 10:30. Like I said, when I picked up my son and got home, then I was like, okay, now I can fucking respond to all this shit.
I told her, I said, I'm going to call this
nigga. Book the next day. I was like, okay, we good now.
No, it was that same night. It was that same night.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm going to hit it to you. I'm going to give it to you. But yeah, it was a crazy day. But now I was sitting there like, ooh, I got these motherfuckers. I can make them feel bad and shit.
Because that was the first thing I said. I was like, you weren't available, were you?
Because she reached out to me.
I was like, oh, this is nice. You look looking good on the camera. Y'all went to the studio today?
Yeah, she reached out to me. She's like, you think Frank all right? I was like, if this nigga don't, I said, if this motherfucker don't answer by tomorrow, I'm calling this nigga.
Yeah, Tuesday was just crazy.
I said, I'm a communicator. I said, I ain't had this dead early where we can think the wrong things.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
now
yeah.
we got
and
some
that
shit.
That shit
yeah. And now we got some shit going on and it ain't even nothing going on.
Yeah,
man.
I knew that.
But that's the part about friendship.
Uh-huh.
That's the part about communication, and that's why it is so important.
Yes.
Because too much dead air, too much time, not with and nothing said, your own insecurities creep in, and you start creating this shit. Like this nigga probably likes that.
You stop playing. Like we stop playing. We start creating
possibilities.
Stories.
Yes.
We start playing audios. We start creating movies.
Yes. And
mental
that's
movies.
And that's what I told her. I said, "Fuck that. I'm calling that nigga tomorrow." Because she kept asking me, "You think he okay?" I said, "I don't know, but it ain't like this nigga not to respond."
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I said, "But I'm gonna call this nigga tomorrow. I ain't letting it go 48 hours."
But you see, the next day I was on it and I was responding.
I was like,
no, I'm not going to let this day get ahead because Tuesday was just nuts.
I said, let me go and look at this.
Yeah, it's all good, though. It's all good.
Nah, we appreciate it. We back on track. Episode 392. Mike, you can take us out, man. Freddie Gibbs.
Man, I kind of wanted to hear something else, but it's all good. We're going to roll with Freddie Gibbs.
This nigga always do. I told you to give me a song.
I know. This is Freddie. This is a good one, though.
All right.
We're going to do the next one next time. Next week. Next week? Week after? No.
Yeah,
week after.
No, it may be next week. I think I booked some time.
No. Next week ain't good. It's a week after. The 12th or something.
All right.
I had to take this shit, go get your paper, bitch.
Yeah.
Rabbit potty training every morning, hoe, I'm cooking dope and cleaning baby shit. Start your road draping like a nigga got a cape, but I can never save a bitch. Fucking ball player, baby mamas hit me when your niggas play the Lakers, bitch. We don't do no posting, no name tagging. California blow, she got a cane habit. I don't want the pussy if the gang had it. Was a hoe before she got the same habit. Hold on, do no posting, no name tagging. Dope and cocaine and got my name racking. I don't sell a whip, but let the gang have it. Got a pocket full of dead slave masters. Get that white and I beat it up like a mic. Jump a broke man, a nigga can't be like Mike. Shed a dick, man, a bitch gotta sacrifice. Diamonds in my shit look like some flashing light. Presidential, I flooded that bitch with ice. Cougar pussy, I fuck a rich nigga white. Doja Cat, let me be from the bike. Porsche engine, that bitch on the bike. Louis luggage that sit in the front trunk. Uncle 340, y'all don't want Dodge truck. Throw VL out the window, I'm mobbed up. Hit that progress until that bitch locked up. Then I play my shit, porcelain rock.